2 Samuel, chapter number 6, verse number 12, the word of God says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death.
Thank you, preacher.
Yes, sir.
That's a wonderful passage of scripture. Good to be here tonight. I've been preaching a series. Now, I have not preached. This is a little odd for me, but this has been a long time that I hadn't preached about 3 or 4 weeks on Sunday night. But my health's getting a little bit better, and I feel a little bit better, and I think I'm going to be able to go again tonight and start doing it again, and thank you for your prayers. I love this story, and here's what we're preaching on tonight. I've been preaching on Bible windows. Now, it's been 2 or 3 weeks since I preached on one. We preached the first one out of Genesis, looking at the storm through the window of the ark. Then secondly, we preached on looking at salvation through the window of Rahab. But I'm going to deal with a subject tonight, and I want you to share this tonight. I think folks need to hear what I'm preaching, especially on this subject. I'm going to preach tonight on this subject, looking at criticism through the window of Michal. Looking at criticism through the window of Michal. Now, I heard a story once about a pastor, true story, about a pastor of a fairly good-sized church about this size. He's like our pastoral staff. He keeps office hours. And my office is always open. Folks come in. Sometimes I don't really hope they do, but some, amen. Or certain folks, somebody say amen right there. But anyway, here comes this lady in the office and told her secretary, I want to meet the pastor. She buzzed. And she said, Miss Linda wants to see you. And here's what he said in his office. Oh, my God. That's what he said. So she comes in because she's known as the church critic. The person that if you got a fire, she's going to throw water on it. So she comes into his office and she said, I got a problem with you. Now, I've had this happen before, so I understand. I got a problem with you. You offend me. And the preacher looked at her and said, well, Linda, what I do now? It kind of slipped. And she said, I don't like the way you wear your tie. And he said, well, what's wrong? Well, notice my tie's just exactly where it ought to be tonight. But he wore his tie about here. And she said, it is too long. And he looked at her and smiled and said, hold it. He pulled his drawer out of his desk and said, here's a scissor. Come and cut it where you want it. And literally, she came and cut it to right here. And she said, well, thank you. He said, hold a minute. Before you leave, there's something about you that offends me. She said, what? He said, stick out your tongue. Some of y'all will get that in about 5 minutes. Have you ever found yourself being criticized? Have you ever found yourself, your motives challenged? Have you ever found yourself the object of somebody's anger and bitterness and jealousy? Well, let me say, well, how did you react? And how did you respond to the criticism? By the way, it's important to react right. Somebody say amen. I read a lot. How many likes reading? I like to read history. One of my favorite people to read after was Winston Churchill. How many's ever read a little bit of him? Let me tell you something. You say something to Winston Churchill, he's going to cut your throat. Come back. As a lady that him and her didn't get along, named Bessie Braddock. And Winston was drunk one night, and she came in and she said, Winston, you're drunk. He said, that's right. I'm drunk and you're ugly. He said, but I'll be sober in the morning. And then there was another lady that Winston didn't get along with, Lady Astor. You've read some of the stories. She said, if you were my husband, I would poison your coffee. And he said, if you're my wife, I would drink it. D.L. Moody, I love D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody got a letter one day and he opened it up, and here's what it said, young people. It said, fool. And he got up before the congregation because that's the kind of guy he was. And he said, I got a letter today that said, fool. He said, actually, I've never got a letter with somebody signing their name. Let me say something to you tonight. Someone said, if you don't want to be criticized, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. Amen? You say, I can't take it when people criticize. Listen to me, if you're a leader, if you're out in front, somebody is going to take a shot at you sometime. And it'd be a good idea for you to learn how to react when they shoot at you because they're going to shoot at you. Hey, we've had somebody saved. Listen to this. Somebody saved at least somewhere during the week for 15 and a half years. Through a soul winning, through a witness, somebody saved during the week or on Sunday for 15 and a half years. Yet there'd be somebody want to criticize this church. Somebody help me preach. They've a bunch of people want to criticize. But the real important thing is, how do you react when they do it? I want to show you three things and I'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice in verses 12 through 17, David's rejoicing. He was rejoicing. You said what it was. The moment of his rejoicing, what was he rejoicing about? There's something great to rejoice about. Because the ark of God that had the law and Aaron's rod, and the ark of God was stolen. Amen. It was gone for 100 years. You said, when was it stolen? It was stolen during the time of Eli. And his son died. And then his wife, who was pregnant, died and had a baby. And they named that baby Ichabod. And that means that the glory of God had departed Israel. And the glory was gone for 100 years. That's a long time. And they tried to bring the ark back once. And they done it wrong. They put it on a cart and were driving it. And it started to fall, and Uzzah got a hold of it. And God struck him dead. Am I preaching? And God struck him dead. And then they took it down to the house of Obed-Edom. It was there for 3 months. He was a godly man. He took care of the ark. And now David, after 3 months of being in the house of Obed-Edom, was bringing it back. Could you imagine the atmosphere? It ought to be the kind of atmosphere was here that should have been here this morning. When them two people got saved, we all ought to have been shouting. Amen. Somebody help me preach. I don't understand why we get so many people saved. We sit back there like it's nothing. Hey, listen, that's a soul that was going to hell that's getting saved by the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the moment of his rejoicing. And that was what it was all around. But I want to show you the manner of his rejoicing. First of all, David's experience. Tell you what he had, he came with gladness. Y'all want to know what gladness is? That's fullness of joy. That's your heart bubbling over. How many's ever been in church and God was blessing real good and you got your heart bubbling over? And you were full of God. Glad. Then David's experience or expression in verse 14 and 15. Look at those verses with me. And David danced before the Lord. Now, before you criticize he's dancing, it wasn't the bebop. It wasn't the twist. It was a customary dance they'd done in the times of rejoicing. And I'm not going to do it because I'll get dizzy. I'll do it a little bit. But what it was a whirling around. That's what he actually done. So he danced before the Lord. And by the way, that would scare about any Baptist church to death. There's some churches, if you shout and praise God, they go about half crazy. They can't take it. By the way, I love it. Somebody say amen. I love that. By the way, you better get used to shout, because you're going to heaven amen. One day, and there's going to be a whole lot of it up there.
Amen.
I remember I remember going to Maryland to preach, Hagerstown, I think is where it was. And I was told by a preacher down south, just let me tell you, you're going to go there, and it's going to be the driest, deadest, messed up place you've ever been, far as from your standpoint, because you ain't used to it. I'm just warning you. So I went to young people. I've never seen anything like it. I went to that church, and it was what he said. I want you to know something. The preacher got up. Here's how he got up. He's a good guy. Don't take this wrong. It's a solid church too. He got up and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to have Pastor Smith from TV the Baptist. We're going to have one song. It's one of them operatic songs, and I'm not into that kind of music, but I'm not criticizing if that's your kind." And I didn't have my wife to keep me awake. But we got the song over. You said, "What did you do?" Well, I can't help it, Evan. I got up and preached my head off. Shouted all over the place. Crazy. Because that's just what I am. Now, there's some people back there going, but do you know what happened in that four-day revival? 8 people got saved. 6 of them got saved over the age of 70. And one of them was 87. And the youth pastor, who was getting ready to quit, who was discouraged, he come and told me he was quit because his child, his boy, was a rebel. And by the way, he wasn't taking up for his kids that was a rebel. You ought not enable a rebel. He told me, he said, he's a rebel, and I'm going to tell you he's a rebel, but I still want to see him saved. I said, "Where's he work?" He told me where he worked. I went out, told the pastor, I said, "Take me to where he works." I went. And I met the old boy, you know, typical. Had his pants about down here somewhere, and his hat on sideways, and acting like a little devil. And I said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Smith. I'm holding revival up here to you. Well, your daddy's a youth pastor." He said, "Well, I heard of you." I said, "Well, you're going to come tonight, right?" He said, "Well, no, wrong." I said, "You're coming tonight." I said, "I tell you what, you come tonight. We promise you'll come." He said, "Would you get away from me?" I said, "I ain't getting away from you until you say you're coming." And guess what? He came. Hello. And he brought his girlfriend with him. And it was the oddest thing. He come in the church, he had his pants way down there. Y'all know, I'm cool. Had a hat on sideways right in the church. I ain't criticizing. I'm just glad he's there. Amen. And his girlfriend comes, she had a dress on, dear God. I mean, she was struggling. And I preached like I always preach. You know what happened that night? That rebel come got saved, and his girlfriend come, and she was kind of, and so I threw my coat over, and she prayed and got saved. Somebody help me preach. And you know what happened that night? Therefore, there are people shouting. And when I left, they all loved me. I thought, well, look, in this place, they're going to be glad I'm going, but they've called me back 2 or 3 times, wanting me to come and preach. Listen to me. I can go to a place that's dead or alive or whatever. I ain't going to change what I am. I'm going to worship. If God's good, we ought to worship. If God's worthy, we ought to worship. I don't care what everybody else does.
Yeah, good.
Secondly, I'm hurrying. I want you to notice this. David's rebuke. Look at verse 16. Would you go there? Say amen. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Michal's, David's wife, observed his activities. And then when they all got all their blessing going, David in verse 19 came to go bless his house. And that word bless there means to kneel with his family and them jointly praise the Lord. If you look at those verses. And Michal accused him of uncovering himself. Now I want y'all to know, look at me. That uncovered himself, he didn't get naked, okay? Here's what the uncovering was. Because the Levites were the one that was supposed to bring the ark in, David dressed in the ephod of a Levite. But when the rejoicing started, he took the ephod off and dressed like a common person in the street, because he wanted the people to know that he accepted them and he wanted them to accept him. And you know what his wife did? She despised it. How would you like it? I'm going to tell you what. That happens in more marriages than you think. You know why there's a lot of rebellion in the home? Because mom and dad's not on the same page. You know why there's a lot of problems we're facing today? Because we're just not on the same page. And it's obvious that David and Michal wasn't on the same page. Really what she said, how could you behave like that? And there's three things that she despised. In verse 16, she despised his devotion, or his devotion was despised. By the way, it said in verse 16, it was Michal, Saul's daughter. In verse 20, it was Michal, the daughter of Saul. She was a bitter woman. Hear me? From a bitter man. Her daddy was bitter, and she was bitter. I want you to know, you know the people that criticize? They're angry, bitter people that can't control their life, so they want to go criticize you for yours. Boy, it's quiet in here now. And don't you ever be guilty of it, because that's a terrible way to be. Then she attacked. His actions were attacked. She really saying you behaved in an undignified way, like a common man. I want you to look at me. There's going to be people that will criticize your actions, because they basically don't know your heart. Somebody help me preach. They'll criticize your actions. That's what she done. She literally criticized his actions. You just didn't behave right. Come on now. Have you ever been the blunt of that? Have you had somebody criticize what you've done or your closeness to God? It's not a good place to be. It's not. Hey, nobody in this room likes to get hurt. Am I preaching? Yes, then that wasn't enough. She criticized his motives were misunderstood, because he uncovered himself in the eyes of his handmaids. She criticized his motives. I tell you, it's a real bad time when people criticize your motives. I want to tell you what my motive is. Y'all want to hear it? My motive is to keep everybody I can out of hell. My motive is to be the best pastor I can to you. My motive is to love you and care for you during your hurts and the ups and your downs and your ins and your outs. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to love people that criticize me. I'm going to love people that don't like me. Because see, I'm not selective in my love, because love covers the multitude of sins, and you ought to love people that even don't like you. Am I preaching? I tell you what, it's not. I've been preaching here for 45 years. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had folks criticize me over during my 45 years. And sometimes, most of the time, it was undeserved. But I want you to know something, whether it's undeserved or was deserved, I want to tell you how I react is the key to it all. Somebody help me preach. I want some of you young people, you get sold out to God, there's going to be somebody criticize you. Hey, moms and dads, you decide to raise your child right, raise him separated and tell him what's right and what's wrong and don't compromise with your children, you're going to get criticized. And it might be your kids that start at you. Good preacher, Reverend. Now I want you to notice lastly, and I'm done, David's reaction. Now I want to ask y'all a question. Look at me. How would you react to it? If your devotion was questioned, if your actions were attacked, and your motives were misunderstood. Amen. How would you have reacted? Now, I'm going to tell you, it'd be very easy. And I ain't going to lie to you, Rich. There'd been a time or two that I've been attacked that I didn't handle right. I ain't gonna lie to you. 45 years, my record's not AAA plus. There've been a few times it hurt. By the way, it really never hurts me much, you attacking me. But if you attack my wife or my children, you're probably gonna have a fight on your hand. Amen. It's just the way I am. I can't help it. You said, I'm not like that. You're a liar. Good preaching, Reverend. Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
Now let me show you what he determined, first of all. Look at verse 21. Y'all in your Bible? And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of Israel, over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. What did he determine? First of all, he said, hold it. What I done was for God. And here's what I say. If I'm doing something for God, don't take it up to me. You take it up to him. Amen. And he said he's going to play before the Lord. What's that word mean? Any of you know? He said, I'm not going to be bitter. That word play means laugh. I'm going to be happy. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you, it'd be a good day in your life that you quit letting critics, people get on Facebook. I've seen some Facebook comments. I've seen some little innuendos about certain things that maybe the church done or a youth group done or this done, little innuendos. And, you know, they don't come right out and say it because they're chicken. They say a lot of little things around the corner. I'm going to tell you what. I don't care how much you've been attacked. I don't care how much your motives are being attacked. Don't get down to their level. You determine that you're going to laugh. You determine that you're going to praise God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
How many believe that's a great way to react?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what we do. If you don't, thank God for you. We'll let one person who is a critic ruin us when most 99% love you to death.
Amen.
And we'll let one person mess our whole self up. Somebody help me preach. I mean, there's been some times, man, God blessed, and I let one person eat me alive. Ladies and gentlemen, get your eyes off of them. Hey, I'll tell you what you need to do. Keep playing before the Lord. That means keep laughing, keep rejoicing, keep loving God. I'm trying. Let me go on. I'm almost done. And what he decided, look at verse 22. I really want you to see this. He said, and I will yet be more vile. That word vow is not probably what you think it is. It means to take lightly. He said, here's what he said. You go ahead and do whatever you want to me, but I tell you what I'm going to be. I'm going to be more vow or I ain't going to take you serious. You know what you need to do sometimes when folks are criticizing and aggravating you to death? Just take it lightly and say, hey, amen. But I'll tell you what you do. We do sometimes. We take it so seriously. And we get hurt. And we think we let things hurt us. And then it hinders the work of God. I want you to know something. I can't correct a critic. I'll let God do that. But I want you to know, did you see what happened to this critic? By the way, I'm going to give you some good advice. Don't you ever try to get revenge on somebody that hurts you. Don't you react to them that way. Because there's a scripture in Hebrews says that vengeance is mine, I will repay. Would you read the last verse? The Bible said she was not allowed to have a child, or her womb was blocked until the day she died. Sometimes we try to handle what we ought not to handle. And we just need to keep serving God and loving God. And despite the critics, because I want you to know something, if somebody is wrong and done you wrong, God's going to take care of it. You better believe it. I've seen it. I don't want it. There's some people who have been mean to me. I don't want no hurt to them. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not God. God's going to take care of it. I'll scare you to death. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you some advice. If you're in this room and you have a tendency to be critical, I'm going to tell you, you need to fear God. And you need to really keep your mouth shut and let God take care of whatever's going on. Somebody say amen. You say, well, I don't like every decision you made in the last 44 and a half years. Neither does my wife. She said it several times. This is at home talk. You're an idiot. And I say, yes, ma'am. I'm your servant. You think my wife don't dress me down if I make a mistake? Every once in a while, that makes me love her more. Amen? Listen to me tonight. How you handle criticism will go a long way on how much success you have in life. You want to have a successful marriage, successful children, raise them right. You want to be successful in your business. Hey, by the way, people out there in business, they don't play fair. They may pass you up for a raise. They may even fire you. Hey, they don't play fair. But you play fair. Because that word, and I will give you one more word. I know it's time to quit. He said, I'll be more base. You know what that word means, Chad? He said, I'll be more vile. He said, in other words, I'm going to take it lightly. But he said, I'm going to be more base. You know what that word means? I'm going to be humble. I'll tell you what you need to do. In the face of your criticism, you just be humble. And you go ahead and take it lightly. Because you know when Paul went through all these afflictions, he said it was a light affliction. Somebody help me preach. This may not be a shout message tonight, but I'll tell you it's pretty practical. It's kind of practical. He said, well, I don't need it. Not tonight. But what if this week somebody attacks you and comes after you and says ugly things about you? How are you going to react? Are you going to get revenge, retaliate, or are you going to be a Christian and let God take care of it? By the way, this wasn't preached to anybody because this is my series, and I'm just preaching what the Bible said. Amen? But I would like for you to bow your head. How many in this room tonight, you are being criticized at this very time in your life? You have been criticized, and there are folks saying ugly things about you. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? Just say, hey, listen, come on. Yes, I see you. Thank you. Then how many of you are here tonight and you love God, but you haven't really controlled your tongue? And you've been a critic. And you said, you know, I shouldn't do that. I know that's not the right thing to do. Why don't you tonight repent of it? Let God help you. There's folks coming and praying right now. You ought to just tip out of your seat and say, man, they've been people hard on me. And I want to react right. Stand, I'll pray. Father, thank you for the lesson tonight. I hope it helped people. I hope we all got something out of it. I did. And Lord, just touch people. Help folks not get bitter, not be angry. Lord, because you got it all. And we're living in a hostile, hateful world that everybody's angry. Help us to rise up and take all that junk lightly and humble ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks ought to come. Come on.